Good evening, everyone. Very nice to see you all. How are we doing? You okay? Sad that you're not at the Forwards Festival? Or relieved that you dodged the weather? Okay, we'll move on from that cultural reference point. Clearly, those who want to be at Forwards Festival are there. But you're here, and that's great. I'm going to be speaking tonight. Every time we gather together, we preach in the Bible. And in a moment, the Bible will come up. We'll read that together. If that's new to you, then what I'm going to do is, as we look at that passage, I'm then going to talk about it, and in doing so, help us kind of try to understand it a bit more. One of the ways that preaching works is that as we pray, we ask God would work through his word. And his word is literally words. And the Bible, another term for the Bible, is the word of God. And tonight, I just want to ask you just to be attentive. Sometimes when we get excited in church, there's lots of things going on. The room can feel very busy, but that can be a very human energy. That can just be lots of people in a room getting excited. But the work of the Spirit is an internal work as well. And I just want to just say right at the top, be attentive to an internal work of the Spirit as I speak. If you feel what we call a quickening, something inside of you quickening, getting excited, kind of buzzing, something going on, that can often be a little sign of the Spirit that God is wanting to nudge you or do something. And maybe as I talk, there's something that kind of jumps out to you or catches you. And I want to say that's a work of the Spirit. That's a bit of how God works as we preach. Now, it's helpful because tonight I'm starting a new series looking at the stories of Jesus. In fact, the series for this month is called Jesus Stories, Unpacking Jesus' Teaching on the Kingdom of God. And throughout this month, we're going to be looking at stories that Jesus told, particularly parables. And we're going to be exploring that a little bit more. What does that mean, a parable? So some of the things we're going to look at, there's a story of the lost sheep. There's a parable of the unmerciful servant. There's another one of a wedding banquet. But tonight, I'm going to be talking about the parable of the sower. Now, the parables, the stories of Jesus, we find in three of the Gospels. These are the accounts of Jesus' life and teaching. We find them in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Actually, we don't really find parables in the Gospel of John. We find them in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 13. So if you do have a Bible with you, or if it's on your phone, then feel free to scroll or turn to Matthew 13. Otherwise, we'll look at it together on the screen. Now, just to say, this is going to be a bit of a teaching one. So you're going to have to switch your ears on. You might want to take notes. Sometimes that helps just to keep tabs of things as I go through or marking it in your phone. So I've got a little bit of a teach and a preach tonight for you. And I hope that's okay as I go through this material. So the parable of the sower, let me just explain to you, is a chunk of teaching in the Gospel of Matthew. And the parable of the sower, as we read it, is exactly set out in three parts. Jesus gives the parable of the sower. Jesus then is asked about why he speaks in parables. And then Jesus gives an interpretation, an explanation of the parable. And that's exactly the same in Mark 4 and Luke 8 as well. Now, that's interesting. Why is it done like that? Why is this question of why do you speak in parables always put in the middle? And the writers of the Gospels crafted the Gospels to explain things and teach things about who Jesus is and the kingdom. And so actually throughout this month, as we look at the parables, we want to be talking about the kingdom of God, this understanding of God, who he is, and the ways of God, and how we live in the kingdom of God, even here on earth. So that's how it works. Now, Matthew 13 has often been described as a parable about parables. Jesus explaining all the parables. Why does he speak in parables? Probably that's a bit broad. I would say more directly, it's a parable on the preaching of the kingdom. Why does Jesus preach about the kingdom using parables? And we'll unpack it together. So let's read Matthew 13. It'll come up the screen and we'll start on verse 1. So Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people at the moment. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it all up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him, so this is not with the crowd now, this is just a small group of disciples, Jesus' closest followers, and asked him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, the disciples, but not to them, the crowds. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, who is a prophet 450 years before Jesus. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become callous, that means hardened. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means." So now this is Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower, again just shared with his disciples together. "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Jesus told them another parable, and that's, he again goes on to keep doing some more ones. We'll stop there, about what the kingdom of God is like. All right, so that is Jesus talking about it. So let's jump in, and we're going to first of all talk about the preaching of the kingdom. Jesus, in his ministry that we read about in the Gospels, is a teacher. It's a big part of what he does. People would often refer to him as teacher. The Pharisees, religious experts, recognized he was a teacher. He would regularly go to synagogues or out into fields, and he would teach, or teach the word of God. Jesus went round teaching. In fact, at the beginning of Mark's gospel, it says Jesus came into Galilee, that's the region in northern Israel, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So Jesus was a teacher, is a big part of what he did. For 3 years, his mission was going around teaching. Now, we know Jesus did miracle things as well and all sorts of stuff, but actually a big part of what Jesus did was to teach. Now, recently, I found myself awake in the middle of the night, and so I decided to watch some TV, and I watched The Race Across the World Celebrity Edition. Don't know if everyone's been watching that? They're in Brazil. I watched the first one, and there's all these celebrities that I'd not heard of, going off cheaper. So anyway, they're in Brazil, and they've got to go like 5,000 miles or something. And one of them decides they're going to go inland to some rural farmstead to work there on a farm for a day and earn some board and lodgings. So they arrive and get there, and there's this lovely old couple who are just farming, and there's like a little fire going on and chickens. And one of the people goes in and goes, "All right. Do you speak English?" And the subtitles are on, and the lady looks at him with her old husband. He's like, "What lovely skin he has." And the husband's like, right. And then the guy's like, "I don't think they speak English. I don't think they do." And you think, yeah, you're in the middle of Brazil. Not everyone speaks English. Do you not realize that? Like, the penny is dropping. Oh, they actually don't speak English at all. They don't have a clue. But they were very friendly, and they have a lovely time farming together. there's an issue here that it's almost like these visitors, these celebrities, are from another world, have turned up, and no one understands what they're going on about, and they have to work out how to communicate. Now, this is a little bit tenuous of how Jesus is with the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God isn't of this world. In fact, Jesus said it, my kingdom isn't of this world, John 18. Otherwise, we would kind of understand it in human ways. Jesus is saying this is an otherworldly thing. This is a spiritual thing. The kingdom of God, the reality of heaven, is not something that we experience here on earth. It's other and comes in. And so often when people were hearing Jesus, they wouldn't understand him. Like, what's he going on about it? We see it with the disciples. They talk about bread, and then the disciples are like, yeah, how much bread have we got? And he's like, guys, I'm not actually talking about bread. I'm talking about something else. And they're very slow to get that Jesus is talking about the kingdom and explaining the kingdom. And part of his teaching was trying to help people understand what the kingdom was. Now, the people in Israel at this time were longing for God to act. They believed in God. It wasn't like they didn't believe in God. They believed in God, and they believed in waiting a time when God was going to act decisively, that he was going to send the Messiah, the one who was going to make things good. They were in a bad way in Israel. And so their expectations of what this kingdom of God was going to look like was very much bound in actually the physical country of Israel, where under the rule of King David, it was should be like the borders extended. They were going to kick out the Romans who were oppressing them. They had this idea that the kingdom of God arriving was going to be a physical, tangible, political sphere, and Israel would be back to things like the good old days. But Jesus went around talking about kingdom that had nothing to do with that. In fact, he subverted a lot of what was being talked about. And so many people didn't understand what is being said. In fact, as we read that parable, the word understanding, hearing and understanding, hearing and perceiving, not perceiving, is a key to understanding the parable. Jesus is saying, you might hear it, but do you understand it? He's saying to the crowd, do you get it? Do you get what I'm saying? Sure, I'm talking about a farmer and seed, but do you get what I'm actually talking about? But the reality is a lot of people didn't. So Jesus is teaching, but he's teaching about this kingdom. That's why many of the parables are trying to open up what it means the kingdom is like. So even later on in chapter 13, he tells stories about, well, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like other stuff that I can't remember. But it's in the Bible. So Jesus is preaching about and teaching about the kingdom. And it's important to us, that's why we want to talk about it this month, is that the kingdom is still something that we seek and long to see at work and lived out here in our midst, not only in Bristol, but in the world. That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We are kingdom-orientated people, and to learn about the kingdom is to look at the stories and teachings of Jesus to help us live more deeply and fully in what it means to be kingdom people. So Jesus is preaching and teaching, but there's more specific than that. Jesus is sowing, and that's why he tells the parable of the sower. Jesus is describing something that he is doing by the act of doing his talking. He's not like, I'm just a preacher, man. No, he's like, I know exactly what I'm doing. I am sowing. I am a sower. He identifies that himself. This is what I'm doing. I'm going around sowing. Now, sowing would be very common to everyone hearing it, an agricultural sort of place. But everyone knew would see people going and sowing their fields. Nothing. It was very helpful and an easy thing to understand. So he wasn't saying anything unusual there, but he was saying, I am sowing seed. Now, the thing with sowing, it's unimpressive. Jesus was saying, I'm just chucking stuff out there. I'm just going around sowing, teaching about the kingdom and throwing out kingdom seeds all over the place. But it seems that it's rather hit and miss. Jesus himself would say, yeah, it's a mixed result, you know. I'm just going to throw it out there. Some lands on the rocky stuff. That's not going to happen. Other stuff doesn't go too well, but some hits the good soil. He recognizes that not everyone is going to respond to what he's sowing. And we see that throughout Jesus' ministry. He's exactly right, that not everyone responds to what Jesus is doing. But sowing as well as a ministry is very unimpressive. It's not immediate. There's no instant results. I don't know if you've sowed any seed recently. You sow the seed and then you have a cup of tea and wait a long time. There's not much going on. You've sowed and then you wait. So it's a funny thing to do. In fact, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, thought that he was coming to harvest. As he introduces Jesus in Matthew 3, John the Baptist is like, yeah, he's going to come, he's going to harvest everything, and he's going to do the stuff. And yet Jesus isn't doing that at all. Just going out sowing. Just go around sowing. Oh. How are you exactly going to get the kingdom in and do a revolutionary thing and kick out the Romans and everything else if all you're going around is just doing some casual sowing and some of it isn't working and some might be, but who would know? He's not forcing anyone to do anything. People can choose if they want to believe what he's saying or not. This idea, repent and believe, it's this turn around, come back to God and believe in what I'm saying. He's putting that invitation out to everyone. Do you have ears to hear? Do you understand what I'm saying? And do you want to believe in it? And lots of people are like, no thanks. It's got a nice guy, but that's not happening. But Jesus isn't just a sower. Jesus is sowing the word of God. Jesus himself is the word of God. And as he speaks these parables, he is sowing the word of God. And the seed is powerful. It's a creative life force. Seed, when it grows, it takes root and it changes someone. It's a new creation. It brings new life, new ways of being. Because the seeds that Jesus is planting, as he talks about in his explanation, are seeds in people's hearts. He's not looking for external stuff. Jesus is sowing into people's hearts and lives that the word of God would take root. And what does the word of God do? It brings life, and it changes, and it challenges, and it convicts. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. It might look casual. He's just telling stories and sowing seeds, but he's speaking the word of God to people. The word of God cleans people up on the inside. The word of God turns someone from being violent to peace-loving. Someone who's bitter to someone who's merciful. A powerful person then humbling them. How has the word of God worked in your life? If you've been with Jesus, maybe you'll know that. Or you've heard stories. You've seen it at work. The word of God is powerful. Now, in the Old Testament, actually, preaching was talked about sowing. Isaiah, the prophet that Jesus quoted, in another part, in Isaiah 55, 10, 11, it says this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word, the word of God that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So it was understood that there was something of the sowing. The word of God is alive and active. And in fact, the writers in the New Testament pick up on this. The person in Hebrews 4 says the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Or in 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. So Jesus is preaching. He is sowing the word of God. And he knows that those who receive it, it will produce a harvest. But for those who don't or close their hearts to it, then it won't take root and it won't grow. The call is, well, will you repent and believe in who Jesus is? Will you join in with the Jesus revolution or not? So that's the first thing. Jesus goes around preaching the kingdom, teaching and sowing the word of God. So the middle part we're going to look at now, why parables? Jesus was asked this by his disciples. Why do you speak in parables all the time? Why do you think Jesus spoke in parables? I mean, many scholars, theologians have written lots of very clever ideas, but the best one is this. They're just really good. They're a really good way of remembering things. For any of us who've maybe been around church a bit, the parable of the Good Samaritan. What's the point of the parable of the Good Samaritan? Love your neighbor. Yeah, building your house on the rock or the sand. Which one do you choose? The rock. Okay, so these are picture ideas. They're easy to remember, and the point is in them. The point itself, the meaning of them, is to you. And so the word parable from the Greek paraboli, but also in the Old Testament, there's another word for parables that can be translated proverbs. In fact, there's a whole book of Proverbs, wisdom sayings. This was very normal preaching kind of style of using stories and sayings and phrases to preach. Jesus was an incredible communicator. Even just the Sermon on the Mount that we read in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew have an incredible amount of illustrations and stories. They're memorable that you can hook on and remember. Most of you, if you've been around church, have heard the parable of the sower before. You know the answer. You know how it goes, because that's how parables work. They're a common teaching practice, a brilliant teaching device, and memorable. But Jesus, when he's asked, gave this really cryptic answer. I don't know if you noticed that when he was asked about parables. He said, well, for you guys, you've been given the secrets of the kingdom, but for those who haven't, they won't. For those who have, they'll get more, but those who don't have, even what they have will be taken away. And then he quotes this prophet again, Isaiah, from Isaiah 6. Why does Jesus quote Isaiah 6? So we're just going to jump back a little bit to our good man Isaiah. Many hundreds of years before Jesus, Isaiah in chapter 6, God calls him to preach. He, in fact, anoints his lips with a burning coal and says, Isaiah, I want you to go and preach to Israel, God's people, just the same as Jesus was. But Israel were in a bad way. They'd been hard-hearted and rebellious, and they were resisting God. And so God gives him a commission. So Isaiah in verse 8 of chapter 6, he said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, this is Isaiah, here I am, send me. And he said, go and say this to this people, being Israel. Again, listen out. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts. And turn and be healed. But Isaiah says, then how long, O Lord? And God said, until the cities lie in waste without inhabitants, houses without people, the land a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away in the forsaken places, and many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. Heavy. I mean, what's that all about? Isaiah has been given this really hard task to go and preach to a hard people. But what is happening is Isaiah has been called to judge the people of God. He's going out to judge them, and it's their hearts that he's judging towards God. Jesus is identifying with Isaiah. He's saying, I'm doing an Isaiah 6, guys. I'm Isaiah 6-ing right now. I mean, I don't know the last time you got an Isaiah 6 on. I just need to go and do a bit of judging, get my judging on. But that's what Jesus is saying. I'm Isaiah 6-ing. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive? Do you not understand? That's why he's echoing those words. As Jesus speaks and as he sows, he is judging people. He's judging people's hard hearts, the ones that have turned from God, knowing that only a few will remain. And it's God's purposes to bring judgment on his people. Now, we're not going to unpack that anymore, but it ends up on the cross itself with Jesus going to the cross, being judged by God for God's faithless and sinful people. So this is what the parables are doing. The parables are revelatory. You can write this down. The parables reveal things. There's revelation that happens when you hear a parable. And so Jesus is saying, actually, I'm speaking, and as I'm doing so, hearts are being judged. And those who can hear it and receive revelation will understand who God is. The divine gift, the sense of the work of the Spirit on people's lives means that people will respond to God and understand the ways of the kingdom and the ways of God. And that's why Jesus said, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, these disciples, but not to them, the crowds. He's saying, you've already got it. You've understood something about who I am and God's purposes. So as well as revealing, being revelatory, parables also conceal. They hide. So the two things are going on. As Jesus speaks, some people are going to see it and get it. And other people are not going to see it. It's hidden from them. That's why this language is being used. So the parables bring blessing to those who understand it, but to those who don't, brings judgment. For those who don't understand, their hard hearts towards God is being judged, and they're not able to receive and perceive what God is doing. That invitation, repent and believe. For those with hearts that can hear it and receive it, people are turning to Jesus. And in fact, Jesus speaks to Pharisees saying, you guys don't get it. I'm saying all this stuff and you can't see what God is doing. And yet the tax collectors and the sinners and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God. Again, he's judging their hard hearts. So the parables themselves are speaking not only words of revelation, but also a word of judgment to those who are hard-hearted and refusing to respond to Jesus. Okay, I'm going to go for my second cultural reference point for the time. Forwards Festival, not so great. Better with the celebrity around the world. How about Gardener's World, everyone? Give me a little wave if you do Gardener's World. Okay, well, God bless you, madam. Thank you so much. Yeah, Gardener's World. Guys, you're missing a trick, to be honest. I mean, let's do it this way. Friday night, Savage Household, all a bit tired, got to Friday night. Gardener's World is on. And you think, oh gosh, not Gardener's World. And then you sit down, you watch all these lovely flowers and these lovely beautiful things and these lovely people talking in a soft voice all about lovely flowers. And you think, maybe the world isn't so bad after all. There's love and beauty and wonderful things. Anyway, I've got Gardener's World for you now. Check out this clip.
Don Timon. We're going to start today's program by answering a question that one of our viewers has sent in, all about seeds and sowing.
Now, the viewer who wrote in actually wrote in on behalf of a friend of his who was having trouble with some of his sowing from seed. Now, sowing from seed is not easy. Seeds can be vulnerable to all sorts of things. Now, first of all, it does depend on the kind of seeds you're using. Seeds come in many different varieties. But actually, the person who wrote in said they were using the seed Logos de Deo, a very powerful seed indeed, so there should be no trouble there. But, my friend, it has been difficult to plant from seeds for a number of reasons. I've tried over many years, and I've learned a couple of things. So, I'm just going to talk you through what I know about planting with seeds.
Now, the first problem is hard ground. Now, if you put any seeds here, they just don't stand a chance. There's no way seeds are going to get through this hard ground. So never put any seeds on the hard ground. Now the second place you might want to sow is in soil. This soil here looks great, it really is, but let me show you the problem. If you were to sow in here, it doesn't take long before, here we go. Yeah, stones, loads of them. Stones are a big problem. You see, what will happen is they'll start growing, but very soon, whenever there's any pressure, any difficult weather or anything, these guys won't stand a chance at all, and they'll be dead before you know. Now, one of the worst things to come across seeds is when you plant in good soil, but you've not checked the soil conditions. Sure, there might not be any stones, but look what I found here. This is a classic bramble. Thorns grow up. Now, the thing with brambles, they grow when everything else is growing. So your seed might have started off well, but unfortunately, when these brambles start getting going, they'll soon choke the life out of them, overtake them, and your seeds don't stand a chance. Now finally, the stuff that you're looking for is this stuff. This is good, lovely soil. Now, the first thing you'll know is it feels different. And that's because it's well drained, it's been well looked after. And this soil doesn't happen overnight. This takes hard work to find good soil. And so this is where your seeds will grow straight away. But it does take work and effort. You need to dig out those stones. You need to get rid of those weeds and thorns before you can really find this good soil. Anyway, all the very best to you with your sowing. I do hope it produces a great harvest.
Lovely. Come on, everyone, get gardening. It's good for you. I love it. There you go, Gardener's World. Top tip recommendation. Crikey. Right, where are we? Right, back to Jesus' parable. So now he's giving his explanation. This is the final bit. Gardener's World. him explaining what does this parable mean. So, four responses to Jesus' preaching. Everyone hears the word, but only one person hears and understands. So the first one, the path. Jesus says it lands on the path, there's no root. It'll be snatched away, said, by the evil one. Now, you can see that in the ministry of Jesus by many people who, like the Pharisees, the moment they heard what he was saying, hated him, and it said he wanted to kill him. And so that is a common thing that you'll find. People Jesus spoke to, just rejecting him straight away. You're clearly not the Messiah. You're not even a naughty boy. And just being rejected because of who he was and what he was saying. So the second one, stony ground. The shallow root. So it does take seed. It does start to grow. But Jesus said the trouble and persecution, the pressure. So actually, times of testing, which are talked about a lot in the Bible, often prove your faith. They prove what faith is there because it's being challenged. But those who have a root that is really shallow will find that actually you're not able to withstand and fade away. We see this in John chapter 6. Jesus has been doing some teaching saying he's the bread of life. And in verse 60, it says, many of his disciples, when they heard his teaching, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And from that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus lost lots of disciples because it was hard, because there was pressure. And so this is being fulfilled. This is being worked out. That people, heard it, rejoiced, thought it sounded really good, but when it got tough, the root was not there. The third one is the thorns. The root grows and grows deeply. Now, the thing with thorns is and brambles, they grow when everything else is growing. The deceitfulness of wealth and the way of the world is talked about. The worries of this life. Choke the word. There's something going on top that although the roots are happening, there's something slowly being choked. Something slowly that is closing out on the things of God until the life of God itself is extinguished. And again, Jesus' words are true. This happens to many people. They have an encounter with Jesus. They feel loved. It's all really good. But unless they keep pursuing Jesus, the other things will dominate and take place slowly, subtly, imperceptibly, but in time, that will happen. We see this in an encounter in Mark chapter 10 with someone called the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, he said he kept all the commands, but Jesus replied to him saying, one thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But he was deeply dismayed by these words, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Jesus then comments how hard it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. This is someone where the allure of wealth was too much for him, and he wasn't able to respond to Jesus. And then finally, the fourth one, the one we're going for, the good soil. It grows and produces a harvest of righteousness. This is the person who hears and understands, it says, who perceives, who has a revelation. I think we see this in the story of Zacchaeus, the little guy up a tree. We read about him in Luke chapter 19. Jesus stops, looks up, says, Zacchaeus, I want to have dinner with you tonight. When's the last time you stopped someone and said, I want to have dinner with you tonight? Such a cool thing to do, especially if you don't know them. They could be a terrible cook. But Jesus saw something in Zacchaeus. And you know what? Zacchaeus saw something in Jesus. It says, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, which I have, I'll pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That is good soil. That is a heart that has said yes to Jesus and responded. Well, what happens if, are you good soil or not? How do you know? I mean, maybe there's some stones in there. Maybe there's some weedy stuff, some brambles around the corner. How do you know if you're good soil? Have you ever heard or read some teaching of Jesus and not understood it? Yeah, loads of times. Like, what's that all about? I don't get it. Good. If you're hungry, you'll find out. Sometimes to get the revelation, you have to pursue and dig deep until you get it. So it's easy to dismiss the things of the Word of God, but actually what you want to do is draw in, you want to lean in, and you want to discover until you get it. Much of the way God works is revealing things to our hearts. And as much as people like me do our best to talk to you and explain everything, ultimately it's about the work of God's Spirit, in your heart, revealing who Jesus is to you, making the things of the kingdom real to you, that you can live that out. So this month we have notes for all our home groups, our midweek groups, people who meet throughout the week, to discuss, to go deeper in these things. How do I understand? How do I get hold of these things of the kingdom? How do I understand these parables? Actually, we do that with one another. And that is a sign of good soil. That's a sign of a hungry heart. That's a sign of someone who's wanting to learn and lean in. In fact, the word for disciple is apprenticeship. Somewhat apprentice, someone who wants to learn, knows that you don't know everything and you want to go deeper. So this parable that we've looked at could have been called the parable of the seed or the parable of the good soil. But it was named the parable of the sower. So what? It's the story that was told 2,000 years ago and has been recorded by some people. What's that got to do with us today? Well, the reason is that sower is still sowing today. That sower, in fact, is sowing tonight, this evening. Any words that I've spoken, Jesus is sowing his word to us and saying, whoever have ears, let them hear. So Jesus, we hear your words to us that challenge us, confuse us at times, seem hard, but we want to say yes to you. We want to know more of your kingdom. And as we hear your stories and we listen to your voice, may we grow in love for you. Lord, for those in the room or listening that maybe this is brand new for you, Jesus is sowing and saying, do you want to repent and believe in me? Do you want to believe the good news of who I am? There's an invitation that Jesus is giving. But there's also an invitation to us who've maybe been following Jesus for a long time, that there is more that Jesus has to show of who he is in his kingdom. And so, God, we want to say tonight and this month, as we continue to gather, Lord, we want to have ears that are open, hearts that are soft to receive what you want to say to us. And help us see what you're doing. And help us to respond to you in faith. And so I pray and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.